We've got an education special of the Ranveer Show. One of India's top educationalists, authors, and one of my biggest mentors in life, Dr. Radhakrishnan Pillai. Thank you for being on the Ranveer Show again.
It's an honor to be part of the Ranveer Show again and discussing something which is so important to us, teachers, educationalists, and for you, students, parents, and the future of our country.
Yes, sir. I think this is a very big game-changing moment in the world of Indian education. It's something that everyone should follow. Please sit down with a notebook. I do believe that somewhere the leadership core of India, whether that's the government, whether that is the core of teaching leadership in the country, education leadership, they've tried to construct the best possible future. In my life, I don't think I've ever been so happy about an announcement from the world of education. So kudos to the whole leadership core of the country. But sir, that's what was the kind of core thought process behind so many changes? We're going to go over all the important ones in this podcast. But what is the history of this moment? Like, what has led up to this?
I'm going to tell everything about this in one line. This is equal to demonetization in the education system.
Wow. Crazy. So, go on.
So what happened actually in demonetization? Everything of the past just became irrelevant. We just got into a different future. So when you ask me what are the history about it, of course, I'm going to tell you. But it's more about the future of Indian education system at the global level. Now coming to this question of what is the history? It's been a long pending thing that Indian education system, it is very good, no doubt about it. The same education system created the great leaders at the Microsoft and the Googles and your IITs and IIMs. Let us not blame that this education system is bad. But as they say, from time to time, we need to reform it. And this is our moment in history for our generation.
Crazy. So, the intention with it, at least when you read all the reforms, is very much, okay, let's create leaders. Let's create entrepreneurs. Let's create the next generation that will actually make India that sone ki chidiya again. Which is a topic you and me have discussed over all our podcasts. Ki kaise kare, kaise kare. This is one huge step in that direction. So let's dive straight in. I've selected 10 top points that I feel are the most relevant for the listeners. The first is this 5 plus 3 plus 3 plus 4 system. So what does it mean?
Okay. I'll tell you, if you look at the current education system, okay, that itself is going to go to a positive disruption. You know, many people say disruption is bad because, you know, it kills somebody and creates somebody else. But when I say positive disruption, it is much needed. Okay, so if you look at the current education system, we have some nursery, kindergarten, then we have primary, and then we have something called as, secondary, higher secondary, and then you go to college. So generally, this education system currently is known as 10 plus 2. Okay, so after 10th standard, you have the exams, and we have two board exams, 10th standard and 12th standard. And it's a tension, you know, because for 10th standard, everybody's struggling. Then 1 year break, you enjoy 11th standard, you again go to 12th standard, and you don't know what to do. But globally, if you look at it, there is only one so-called final board exam for which you are ready for the world. Okay, so let me tell you globally, and mostly picking up from the West and American education system, they have one which happens in the 11th standard. Okay, and afterwards, you can choose whether to get a graduation degree or no. So what we are seeing is in this particular education system, we are going to have basic, which is 5. Okay, so what is this 5? Primary education, first standard or fifth standard. Then it's going to be 3. That means 6, 7, 8 as higher secondary or secondary, I would say. Then after 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you will not be having 10 standard exams. Congratulations. And you will not be having 12 standard exam. They're going to merge into 11th standard. So that's going to be 3. So 5 is primary education. Then we have secondary, that is 3. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And after that, you are going to decide your future with the college. That means 11th standard 1. And then you decide what to do in life. And you can go for higher education like diploma, advanced diploma and graduation. So this is the basic understanding of these numbers.
Crazy. So the obvious kind of question, and every positive always has a flip side also, is that those bichare 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds will have to go through a board exam. Like, while that could be good, that could be a good character building moment in their lives, I think it's in the hands of the parents. I just hope parents of young kids like that don't start putting pressure, saying, you know, are karke dikhao, karo, karo, karo. But I also feel that generation of parents who puts too much pressure now, that's over. And the new generation of parents will be a little more easygoing. That's just my intuition. I don't know. You tell me.
So, as you rightly pointed out, it is not going to be 11 years old child. It is 11 standard. Okay. So, if you look at it, it is going to be 11 standard. So, that means the child will be already 16 years old.
Nahi sir, but I'm talking about the pehla, like the 5+3+3. So after fifth standard, there will be something?
No. So you only...
Oh, okay.
So, but if you look at it today also, you go from primary to secondary. And then from secondary to higher secondary. There is no board exam. It's all internal.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So you don't worry about so many board exams. So it's not a board exam after fifth standard and then after. No, nothing like that. But what is very important is that right now this format has been given. How it is going to be implemented, it all depends on school to school, and there are various boards. They will all get merged.
There won't be an ICSE, CBSE, SSE, nothing.
No, that's exactly what is happening currently. We have so many boards, so many confusions. And when you go from school to college, maybe after 12th standard, you don't know what is the marks. There is a CBSE, then it's an IB, and there's a state board. So the whole idea is to have one standardized thing. You know, that is the what the government is working for. But let me tell you, it will take some time because nobody knows. I'm from this board, I'm from that board. The idea is to integrate it globally because the global thing is 11 and forward. So it is going to take some time for everything to get merged. But as you rightly pointed out, Ranveer, that is the vision of this particular education policy.
So how long do you think it will take, like from now till that moment?
How long did demonetization take?
Oh, okay. Got it.
There are two things. One is the decision. And the second thing is the implementation. And the third thing is social acceptance. Please understand this. You know, there is already a huge system running in this particular country. Crores of people are involved in this. It's not going to be an overnight change. And I would call it more a teething problems. There'll be some resistance to it. And especially, you know, people who are already a part of this whole system. They're already preparing for the 10th standard board or 12th standard. So it's going to be a kind of a change management issue at the national level. Three people will be directly affected in this. Number one is the students themselves. Number two are the teachers. Okay. And number three are the ones who are going to be employers or those people who will be helping funding these guys who want to be entrepreneurs. So I think teachers have to accept it. And, you know, once the government rule comes, most of the teachers don't have a choice. Students will have to go through it because students generally don't understand education policy. It's only after we come out, we realize, you know, it was not an education system. It was actually an examination system. But I have one request to all the parents, you know, please accept this because parents are the one who are going to be guiding the children to accept this. Take it positively. The outcome will be very good. There'll be some teething problems, adjusting problem like any other system. It's like changing from one house to other house. But I would say is that if you take it positively, we will be able to manage the change better in a positive way.
Crazy. But so like, as in, when will we actually start seeing this in play? And because I didn't understand that concept of merging it with the whole world system. So does that mean we're going to merge it with the American system, the European system mainly? Like you can't merge with like an Australia, Nigeria, everyone. So what? I didn't understand that.
Okay. So let me tell you today, if you look at what you are doing right now, YouTube interview, the world is your audience, right? Initially, every country used to decide its own education policy. And we created our own education policy that's been working till now. But if you look at it globally, most of the Indians have migrated and we have second generation Indian born there. So an American born Indian, I would say, you know, so they go through a different system. And you must have usually heard them saying, especially the NRIs, and saying that hamare yahan pe education system itna, you know, problem nahi hai. Okay, so the basic education in America till 11th standard is taken care by the government itself. So there is no financial stress. Second important part is that, you know, they have something called as choice-based education system. So you will see in our own system, students don't just study by syllabus. They can actually take maybe one music credit. Okay, they can take one Sanskrit grammar. They can take one mathematics. So I think for 5th standard, everybody will be having the common thing. But everybody needs to learn maths. But what I'm saying, as you go higher and higher globally, everybody enjoys study. And studying is a choice. And let me tell you, in the American management system, I traveled to a lot of universities abroad. You know, becoming a graduate is a big thing. In India, after graduation also, you don't get a job. Therefore, there is a saying, you know, jindagi mein kuch bhi kar le, beta pehle engineer ban jana. So, you know, engineering, yes, so I know that.
I also all my team at Monk Entertainment, everyone's engineers.
Exactly. That's why I give that example. So, you know, if you go abroad, an engineer is a very highly qualified, skilled person. And everybody is having basic skill till 11th standard. So what we are trying to do is that merge. So that tomorrow, when you're going to the world level, you said, listen, I have the basic qualification. I'm also a graduate by choice. Today, graduation is more because of social pressure. Engineers and doctors, because gaadi mein baith gaye na. So school education, then 12th standard, then some degree you should have. And we are saying people are unemployable. So all graduates need not be employable. But let me tell you, in the global standard, graduation means big. That's if you look at the passport. You know, there is something called as immigration not required for graduates. And today, every Tom, Dick and Harry in India is a minimum graduate. You know, it's not something great. So we need to respect the graduates who specialize in something. So that's what I'm saying. Globally, graduates are very respected and they have convocation ceremony with the topi and the dress. And India, we sing, okay, so what? So I'm saying that this will take us to the global level. Of course, in the higher education system, there'll be credit-based system, which I'll explain to you. Okay, what is that going to change at the global level? There is something called as credit-based system, which is to be adopted very soon.
Got it. So it's basically in spirit, we are kind of stepping up to global levels.
And also maintaining the Indian spirit.
Beautiful, beautiful. Which brings me to my next point, sir. Vocational focus right from the sixth standard. So are there going to be vocational courses? What kind of vocational courses is the government thinking of? What's happening?
Yeah. So if you remember the policy of the government, Skill India. Okay, so what is Skill India? And there is another called as Startup India also, Stand Up India, which is for entrepreneurship. The thing is that usually people who are out of the system, then they go and find out a skill. Okay, of course, we have ITIs. Okay, I'm not talking about IITs, ITIs, where you get technically educated. Now, the thing is that one of the statistics say that we have a lot of disparity in our country. The people who are in MBA and going forward, they become very, you know, part of the management team. But what about a plumber? What about an electrician? What about a truck driver for that matter? You know, we do them look at very down. So we don't respect this called, you know, and we say, you know, they're labor class. It's not good. I remember one of my friends from Australia told, you know, if tomorrow an Indian who settled in Australia, okay, tomorrow, if my daughter has to get married to a truck driver, there is no problem with me. I said, wow, such an educated PhD father, because he says that truck driver also earns the same amount of money, which maybe a CEO of a company can, because there is a social respect, dignity of labor. I think this education system will start giving you the vocational guidance and training right from the school day. So, for example, if you like to be a plumber, what's wrong? He's not doing a dirty job. He's doing an excellent job. So what is going to happen is that the vocational part will start getting introduced right from the school. So you have workshops. So you know, if you want to be a painter, there's a different class for you. If you want to be a thing. So this training will be there. And look at this way. In India, we are still dependent on people to come and do our repairing of plumbing work and electric work. But if you look abroad, all the basics are done by the same person. They have a toolkit at home. They have a carpentry kit at home. So why don't we train our children to do your to-do list for the small little things? So if there is a nut and bolt which is missing, you don't require to call a carpenter and pay 350 rupees. Because if he comes, he has to pay the minimum visiting charges.
You can tell your 10-year-old, chalo karo kaam, like something like that.
And the 10-year will actually check with a YouTuber who is a carpenter and he'll be a role model.
That's crazy. It's a beautiful world we're heading into. What other vocations do you think, sir, will be introduced? So is it all these, you know, occupation-based vocations, or is there other stuff as well?
So every generation will have new occupations. Like we never knew about a generation called as YouTuber, right? And I have a great friend of mine called Ranveer Alabadia. He's a YouTuber. I didn't know. I never decided in my life that I would be a YouTuber. I want to make YouTuber my role model. Remember this, Swami Vivekananda said, a good economy, a good nation is the one who allows people to choose their vocation and the way of earning money. So in the olden days, we only knew cattle rearing and agriculture. Now think about it. 20, 30 years ago, the IT generation came in. There'll be creative economy also. So what is the creative economy? You are a part of the creative economy. YouTube is creativity. But many people thought it is entertainment. It is not entertainment. It's a profession. You earn money out of it. I earn money out of it. Everybody can. So I think this is the beauty of every generation. They can decide. I'll tell you one instance. There was a person who actually did mass media 20 years ago. And he told his father that, you know, I'm going to do mass media. So father did not understand. What do you mean by mass media? Saying that it's all about communication. So he asked, so what is your job after this? 20 years ago. Maybe I'll get into a television channel or radio. He got into a radio channel and he got a programmer's job. So his father asked him, what is the meaning of radio programmer and how much are you getting? So he said, I'm going to get 40,000 rupees per month. 40,000 rupees? Gana bajane ke liye radio station mein. I've never heard of it. And actually father was shocked when he actually got a salary 20 years ago of 40,000 rupees. So for that father generation who worked in factories, they never understood what a radio programming is. Maybe my generation is still wondering what a YouTuber is. So I think the next generation, you have so many things. So one of the very clear things is that it's going to have a choice in which you want to make your career, your profession and your vocation. So if you want to be a plumber, why not? But if you want to be a poet, why not? If you want to be somebody who's going to design water bottles, why not? So it's the beauty of this education system and the future that you can choose any existing vocation. Or you can create a vocation which you believe you are the spearheader or the starter of that. For example, I started a complete career on Chanakya. It never existed. So you choose your career rather than getting frustrated with the education system.
100%. So I think the point to be highlighted here is that you are telling an 11-year-old ki ye dekho, this is what you need and then you'll be able to do this job. And just that realization will actually open up their minds and even more things. And eventually in life, they'll have that confidence of, okay, when I was 11, I learned that myself or someone taught me, so I'm sure I'll be able to do anything. So it's more a confidence instilling thing than anything else.
And experimentation. So I'll explain to that. So when you're telling an 11-year-old guy, you can choose this career, you're not making him choose only that career. It's like a buffet dinner, you know? So you taste everything. So if you want to be a carpenter, try it for a few days. If you want to be a musician, try it for a few days. Till you don't taste, you don't understand which is the choice you want to make. It's like going to an ice cream parlor. You know, the ice cream parlor guy, there'll be 12 different flavors. And he says, you can taste everything. You don't have to pay. But if you like that one flavor, which is unique and which appeals to you, you can buy the whole scoop. So education system is going to allow every child to choose what they want. And if you don't want to follow it, it is okay. So for example, after becoming an engineer, everybody says, you know, ye kya kar raha hai? Till you make money. So there is no feeling of guilt in experimenting with various different professions. So you can take a mathematics as a subject. You can choose culinary arts as a subject. You can take, you know, maybe a YouTuber as a subject. Maybe you can create a course out of it also. So I think the 11-year-old child actually has a choice to experiment before deciding. Because if you don't have a choice, then you are actually under stress to choose which you don't want to. So that's a choice-based education system.
Beautiful. Also, I feel, you know, I've been reading a lot of Yuval Noah Harari. He speaks about artificial intelligence, how much it's advancing, which also means that a lot of human beings are going to lose their jobs to artificial intelligence. Therefore, what do the human beings do? Everyone will have to upskill. Skills is the new oil of the world, the new gold of the world. So you're kind of increasing the respect of the concept of skills in a kid's head, which is very beautiful.
In fact, I go one step further to connect to Chanakya also. You are going to find your Swadharma, what you are good at, what is your natural talent. And a person who makes a profession out of his Swadharma, his natural God-gifted talent can never fail in his life. Like I'm a natural teacher, I'm a natural author, I'm a natural speaker, and I connected to Chanakya. I'm the number one in my field. Everybody can be number one in their field. There is no competition. There is only collaboration. That's the way forward.
Yeah. You know, again, these kind of concepts, I just hope people gravitate towards it. But I do feel India's breeding a new generation of human minds. But anyway, let's move on to the next key point, which is 8th to 11th, which is around 13 years old or 14 years old to 16. You get to choose your subjects. So I'm guessing that 6th standard to 8th period is for you to kind of taste different things and then finish your buffet dinner and then choose your a la carte menu or whatever in 8th to 11th. That's the thinking?
Absolutely correct. And now the teachers have to give the buffet, okay? Remember that also. So every institution will have to decide because, you know, for example, when I was part of this little bit of an education policy, a little bit I was involved and somebody said near Bangalore airport, there are villages, okay? And can you believe there is no much profession, there is no other choice. So one of the persons who actually drafted this education policy was telling us, when I go to the Bangalore airport, it's very far off from the main city. All of you must have seen this, who travel to Bangalore. But if we can create a vocation, okay, that how can you be a person who can do support systems for the Bangalore airport? And can the college teach, you know, there'll be foreigners coming, speak in an Arabic language, take them to a hotel. So you can have a specialized course in Bangalore airport near those education institutions. So it is not a buffet dinner only, which is standardized. That buffet dinner can be a local choice. So my mother would like to give me 10 dishes. Your mother can give you 10 different dishes. So it's a very beautiful buffet. It will be unique with a different spread everywhere. That's where we are heading for.
So, but practically in schools, what's going to happen? Like, as in, is the government going to go and tell schools that, okay, now you have to start teaching people cooking and carpentry and everything. So will the government provide the tools? Like, what's going to happen?
I'll tell you how the education syllabus is formed. Okay, now let me tell you the process. And it's a very technical process. Whenever you go to a particular school, there is a board. Okay, and there is something called as board of studies. So who is the board of studies? It's a committee. Okay, nobody decides the subject. So like, for example, if that's a government, state government, there's a syllabus, and you know, must have seen a lot of people saying that the history has to be rewritten. Okay, then you have to Indianize, you have to bring in Sanskrit, you have to bring leadership, you have to bring Chanakya into it. So how does the process happen? So the people come together, the intellectuals, the teachers, the researchers, and they say, you know, a lot of things have to change in the education syllabus. For example, a lot of things get outdated. Will you ever teach what we were taught, teaching about computers 20 years ago? No, because a dot matrix printers is no more relevant, you know. We will talk about the future. So what is going to happen? The board of studies, they actually sit down and discuss what are the kind of a syllabus. And if they're intelligent people, they will actually make a syllabus from two types. One is what is called the spiritual education, the moral education, ethics, the character building. And the second is the technical part of it, which will become a profession. So coming back, who is going to decide what to teach? The first people are the people who are the part of the board of studies who will decide. So you can have a local decision also, but it has to be aligned with the national decision. So the policy that we have is a framework. It's like, you know, the government says, "Sab log, I will give you free roti and kapda and I will give you dal, chawal. But how do I prepare the dal, chawal is my choice. I can prepare a dal in Gujarat with a little bit of a sugar and gud more. I can prepare the same dal with a sambar in Tamil Nadu or Kerala with more mirchi and a rasam powder. Please understand this. I'm giving you dal. But what you make out of dal is your choice. So what is going to happen is that it will be very decentralized along with central guidance. So that's where you have to understand policy and implementation. There is a gap. And that gap has to be filled by the teachers and the people who are deciding the syllabus.
Beautiful. So I actually think that this will create a lot more jobs also, because it will make teaching a more glamorized profession again, which is also something I want to bring in here. A part of the changes was that a larger chunk of the GDP will now be dedicated to the education system.
So 6%, as they say, you know.
Okay. And it currently it's at around 1.5?
I need to look at the figures, but it's definitely bigger. I think 3 or 6%, but that's a major chunk. Major chunk, yeah.
I believe it's something like 1.5 right now, and it's going to 6%, which is a huge jump. But where will that money go? It'll go into teacher salaries, plus infrastructure, plus like skill development infrastructure, things like that.
So there is a national budget which happens every year. It's called the union budget, which is presented in the parliament. And it's generally a pie. And, you know, part of it goes into health, defense, education. The people say, you know, education is a very small thing. But let me tell you two things about that. Education is not just about teaching. It's also research. See, this is what we need to get in a mindset. A part of that GDP will also go into research. What is the meaning of research? Let me tell you. You know what happens? Our education system is actually an examination system. So we study, we mug it up. And, you know, before the exam, I am wise. And after the exam, I'm wise. But during the exam, I'm otherwise. I forget. So what is very important is that this GDP definitely will go into multiple things. Number one, paying the teachers, the infrastructure, the syllabus, because there'll be a lot of new content coming in, the textbook, the videos. So you have a future there. You know, if you can create education videos, Ranveer, there's a huge budget going to come from government also.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Ah, exactly. And we're going to do it together.
It'll happen.
No, the other part of it is very important. That a lot of things will go into futuristic education. Currently, all the research is going to major institutions like DRDO, ISRO. Okay? Now imagine, your students start developing a small, you know, a pen which is very important for the future instead of, you know, looking at something. So I think one of the things is that it's like defense, you know. We have a defense budget, but defense budget is not only to get Rafael. We are fortunate that we got it. But defense is also that budget goes into R&D. So the future, when it's saying 6%, that is what the government will give you. But what do you do with that money is a personal choice of that institution, that state and the teacher also. So I think one of the very important focus that India has to move from mugging up the knowledge. Anyway, we have knowledge free on Google. Google has become a devta. To actually doing research, and a lot of money will go into futuristic research where all of you can create your own professions and IP, intellectual property. Remember this.
That's beautiful, sir. But something that actually really stuck out to me was the next point also, which needs to be mentioned, major and minor degrees. Very American, European concept where people will be studying engineering and on the side, they'll be studying filmmaking, which is a godlike scenario for me. I wish I had that in college. And also, I feel like when you give a student interesting stuff to study, say he's chosen a major which he doesn't enjoy, and then he also sees that, oh, by the way, my minor, I'm enjoying it a lot. It occupies your head and it keeps students away from alcohol, from drugs, from the wrong company. When you're stimulating your head that much. So again, could you elaborate on how we're going to go about this major minor policy?
Yeah. So first of all, this education policy talks about education at two level. One is at the primary and the secondary level, but that's a higher education. That's when you go from 12th standard to a degree college, and now it will be 11th standard to a degree college. One very, very, very important step, and this is everybody to note it. Suppose you decide to do a BCom, a basic course, or a BA. Okay, you need to study for 3 to 4 years. For an engineer, it's 4 years, right? For a doctor, it's 4 years. Suppose you complete for a BCom 2 years and you don't do that third year, you're still an undergraduate. Now, you know what this thing says? Suppose you decide to do engineering, okay? You do only 1 year, give the exam and pass. You will get a certificate. Okay, and you can decide not to continue it. But that 1 year, you have a value for it. Suppose you do it for 2 years. Okay, you give an exam. Now you get a diploma for it. Suppose you do it for 3 years, you get an advanced diploma. Suppose you do it for the whole thing, then you get a degree. So you don't have to wait for the degree for the fourth year or the third year to get it. Okay, you can get it every step. Isn't it good or bad? Because you can decide to leave it. I know of a student who actually completed BCom, but unfortunately did not give 2 papers. He failed for it. He never was called a graduate. He's 45 years old. Of course, I forced him to complete that too and become a graduate. Imagine every year getting something and you decide to go. Now, the good news is that you can choose. It's called, you know, choice-based credit system. So as you said, you know, what, 1 credit on music and 2 credits on mathematics and 3 credits on Chanakya and leadership. Why not? So I think this is the flexibility that we have. And the best part is that these credits can be utilized in other universities also. That's where the national education policy comes in. So if you get, you know, 2 credits and you completed 1 year, you can go to another college and continue from there also. So it's a very flexible system.
So, but like, how will an engineering college, so say my engineering college was 1 building. What will a student's life be? You go to that engineering college, then for your filmmaking class, you go to another college. Will it be something like that?
So it depends on the physical infrastructure also. So if your college is good enough, then you can go from one class to another. But, you know, I have seen other institutions also, even today, let's say if they don't have a playground in a city like Bombay, what they do is that they use the playground of their adjacent school. They have an understanding, you know. So suppose you know, one of the challenges that will happen is that, let's say I want to study Sanskrit. I'm just giving an example. But, you know, let's say there are only 2 students opting for Sanskrit. What do you do? The teacher can teach for students, but she's used to teaching 40 students, isn't it? So then what you say is that what you do, then maybe she can club up and make 1 Sanskrit class. So that is going to be 1 challenge, even though it's a flexible thing. It depends on the infrastructure available and also the teachers available. So you may say, I want to learn, you know, Russian music, but you know, you are the only student, but if there are 20 people and 1 Russian music teacher. Okay. So I think this is a very practical case to case basis. If it's a very big institution, they have the infrastructure and the teachers. Now that's why you may have also more visiting faculties. Because everybody cannot be on the payroll. If somebody wants to learn grammar and if you don't have a Sanskrit department there, you can call an external person. Somebody wants to know how to make a career out of YouTube. They will call Ranveer. You become the visiting faculty in an institution. So there's a lot of things that will get experimented. Because if you don't have enough students, you can't teach it. And if enough students are there, you can create it also.
The entrepreneur inside me is screaming out tech, and it's screaming out video calls, and it's screaming out video conferences. I think that's going to be the big answer here as well. Like, there's going to be a huge aspect of fast internet connections, and maybe by that point 5G and 6G that comes into play here.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, this is also called as industry academy partnerships. So the people who are already in the industry or in the profession like you, they can collaborate with the academy, and you can actually recruit from the fresh graduate engineers or YouTubers of the future. You know, you have to also get your next level ready. So where do you go? Yep, you teach in the college or the school, which is offering YouTube courses, and the same people who is the best student, you can hire him directly. What a win-win situation.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. So I just love the idea of a minor aspect in your degree also, because I feel that a lot of kids kind of go into depression, have major mental health issues if they land up in the wrong field. Like, again, I didn't enjoy engineering as a subject. You know, I enjoyed physics, but not engineering, because it was two different things. And I went into an extremely dark place, and that's probably why I ended up, you know, getting into alcohol and all. And lots of students find themselves in that same zone. So it's going to help the mental health a lot of young teenagers. They're going to have that something to look forward to. So next, we got to talk about this teacher training board. So the government is actually training its future crop of professionals, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. In fact, teachers also require training. You cannot be teaching the same thing again and again. You know, there are two things. One is a subject upgrade. So suppose you are teaching, you know, artificial intelligence. Okay. So I taught it for 2 years, but the field has evolved. So how do I get myself upgraded? Because I'm going to a school or a college. So they will be trained in the latest. The second thing is teaching methodology also changes. For example, initially I was teaching on a blackboard. Now I'm teaching with a PowerPoint presentation. Tomorrow it could be virtual reality. And today it is all online. So teachers also need to upgrade themselves. And, you know, the good news is that already teachers are going through a lot of trainings. So it is not that teachers training doesn't happen. In our Mumbai University itself, you know, so I head the Chanakya International Institute of Leadership Studies. We have continuous teacher training programs also. But now there'll be more budgets, and a lot of people will be coming, and that will be a focus area. Because if teachers are not updated, what will they update their students? You know, there's always a gap. And even if you get yourself updated, there'll still be a gap. But continuous training for teachers is a very important step at the national level also.
I feel there's a lot of human beings out there who actually have a passion for teaching, but purely don't take it up because they think it's financially not viable, or, you know, it's not as glamorous as they would like. And I think that, again, a part of this whole overhaul is going to be creating a crop of 100 Chanakyas, hopefully, and then 1,000 Chandragupta Mauryas. So that's the vision.
Teaching is the most respected profession. And, you know, till now it was not getting paid a lot. But now with the, I don't know if you're aware of the Six Pay Commission, a lot of teachers are getting huge monies. Some of them are getting more than the corporates. But, you know, this is a great profession. Welcome. Become a Chanakya yourself. Create the next generation. It is money along with respect. A lot of people who make money don't get respect.
While we're speaking about new age thought processes, preschool learning program. So this is like before KG, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Or during KG. So even parents will be given some kind of a syllabus to train the kids at home. Like, what is the thought process here? And I want you to highlight very quickly the concept of Anvik Shiki, which is one of the first things you taught me in your mentoring for me. I think it's a beautiful concept that should be re-highlighted.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you, in our culture, you have to understand there are three ways of education. The first education is our parents and family itself. The second is a formal school, college, whatever. And third is a friend circle. Please understand, we actually learn with our friends, you know. So when you have a problem, you don't go to the teacher, you go to your friends. Are sikha de yaar, you know, bata de mere ko. So I think let us go to the basic education starts at home. And we have a prayer, you know, it is first guru is mother and father, tomeva mata cha pita, you know, that's all gurus. So a guru comes later on in the school. And I think it's a very good to integrate your parents along with the children as small that you are. Okay. So I'll tell you something about the American system, which I love. So that every country has got pluses and minuses. In America, they give a homework to the little children, you know, what we call preschool and all those things, where they have to read one book to the child, loud reading, what we call, before going to bed. Okay. And please note this, interestingly, it should not be from the school textbook. So the parents have to choose one book they will read, and it has to be reported back. It is locked in.
Wow.
So it is not that, you know, it can be Harry Potter, it can be anything, something value-based. So what is very important is that we have to get our parents involved. Otherwise, you know what parents do? They blame the education system for telling that, you know, okay, you are not creating the good education system. And the education system blames the parents. Your child is like that. So I think that's a very good integration. Coming back to the next question, Anvikshiki. It is the first thing that every child should learn according to Chanakya. What is Anvikshiki? The ability to think, strategic thinking. The ability to investigate, logical thinking. Somebody said it very nicely. I was born intelligent, education ruined me. So now we are going back to make children intelligent because they're already born intelligent, you know. They have the intelligence. How to sharpen your intellect. That is Anvikshiki. And the good news is that Anvikshiki also will be part of the school education system very soon with this new education policy.
Got it. As early as KG, I'm guessing.
It's going to be preschool and school and forever. Why not?
What about sports, sir? That's the next point. Is there any thought about like physical education, health, sports? Because as I'm growing up and as I'm looking around me and seeing the health issues of people in their mid-20s, I am valuing all the sports education I had in school, all the rounds of the football ground I did. So I do feel that's a huge part of education as well.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, all these extracurricular activities, co-curricular activities, everything will get merged with the new education policy. And, you know, it's already happening. You know, I remember now the SSC results have come recently, isn't it? So there was a girl who actually scored 100 out of 100. Like, how did you get it? Because she actually got 15 marks extra because she was a Bharatanatyam dancer. Okay. So I think we need to go beyond just writing exams to actually saying that if you have a talent, explore it. So yes, sports is very, very basic. Sports keeps you physically and mentally fit. So sports is not just about, you know, education system of writing exams. I think we already have it that we have PT classes. So what is PT classes? PT classes is physical training, you know, but it was some exercises. But if you want to take sports as a career, there's a sports management course also now coming up. So it's very, very important that we take the education system integrated with physical and sports. And let me tell you, my dear friends, if you want to take sports as a career also, it's a big thing. Already there are, you know, games like kabaddi, kho-kho. Of course, cricket is a big thing. So sports is not just physical fitness. It can be a big time career also. Go out for sports if you are interested in that.
I do think that the world is moving more towards physical fitness. The world of sports itself is becoming so physical fitness oriented. Like when you see a Virat Kohli versus that older generation of a Sehwag and Akash Chopra and, you know, the others. Like you see someone like Virat Kohli giving that much importance to fitness, which actually means that there will be a lot more jobs within the world of sport. Like Virat Kohli will have 3-4 guys just for his own physical fitness. One to teach him power, one to teach him speed. That's the big hope, honestly. And therefore, we will be able to see definitely a famous, world-famous Indian footballer other than Sunil Chhetri. Okay? And we'll be able to see Indians in other sports. So that's my big hope. I just hope that these policies bring about that change as well. And I do believe that they'll bring out the change because of the next key point, which is a reduced size of the syllabus and more importance to practical application-based knowledge. So could you elaborate?
Absolutely. In fact, health is the minimum in this particular good life that you want to live, you know. So health and fitness is anyway part of it. Now, if you see, the government has already been promoting International Yoga Day. Okay. Swachh Bharat. So that's, of course, cleanliness. Swasth Bharat also. So what's very important that we get into understanding that our health and fitness is a minimum. And of course, you can make a career out of it also. So if you look at a Virat Kohli or for that matter, even Hrithik Roshan, he started a chain of gyms, you know. And so I would say the health is going to be big. And if you can integrate it with Indian knowledge, for example, Ayurveda as a food science, okay, or yogasanas as a flexibility thing. And of course, go to the gym. So there's a huge scope of creativity in the space of health and fitness also. So it can be physical, it could be gymming, or maybe make, you know, new patterns. So like I know one of my students actually created a new model in the health fitness space called as chair yoga. So a lot of people who are in companies, they sit on the chairs, they get backaches. And what do? So he actually created chair yogas for everyone. So it's very important that you can innovate even in the health space, the fitness space. That is going to be the future, especially the youth of India needs to be healthy and fit. You know, there we have a concept called Fit India also. Make a career out of it. Choose if you want to.
Yeah, 100%. I think the biggest weapon in my own entrepreneurial career is my habit of fitness. It just keeps your head cleared, keeps you determined, it gives you creativity. And this is genuinely because in my childhood, I was ragdolled on like the sports field. So I just feel that this whole, again, the education system isn't just about the policies. It's about what the policies are doing as well. When a child has free time, like when he comes home from school at 4 o'clock, he should have those 2-3 hours to go play cricket, to go play football, you know, to even go for a jog, even if you're 10 years old, 11 years old. So I feel that these changes are going to bring about lifestyle changes in the lives of parents, kids. So overall, hopefully we'll see more sports people, more entrepreneurs in this country.
Of course, we should. And that's where we are supposed to go.
Yeah, 100% so. Finally, the last point I want to highlight is this single authority syllabus. It seems like a mammoth task. It means that a kid in South Bombay will be studying the same thing as a kid in, say, Arunachal Pradesh, some remote corner of Arunachal Pradesh, some remote corner of Kashmir, some remote corner of Tamil Nadu. What is going to happen down this road, sir? And how does the government look at this situation?
So I am very clear on this. You know, already we are moving towards it because the internet space doesn't see geographies. Okay, so I think if somebody is learning something in Harvard, I can also know it if I want. If somebody is learning something in Pune, which is supposed to be a cultural capital of our country, and a lot of literature is there, ancient Indian literature. So I think this thing will also help in two things. One is accessibility to everyone, but also very important. It will also give the choice to the teacher to decide in what methodology she or he wants to teach. Okay, so when somebody is teaching the same subject in Arunachal Pradesh, maybe she can give local examples. When she's teaching in maybe Bombay, it can be a Bombay example. So what is important, it is a flat system with flexibility. So remember, it's going to be fun, F. It's going to be flat and it's going to be flexible. So the teacher is the main person in designing this particular thing. So don't just leave it to the government policies. Remember the teacher and the student, they have to also gel together to make this education system successful.
Beautiful. So what can parents expect next? Like as in now the government has announced this. So what is the next step?
The parent should not expect anything. That is where the problem is. You know, too much of expectation from the child is the problem of our education system also. You know, because many times parents think that what they could not do in the past should be achieved by the students. So my request to the parents is that, you know, let them enjoy their education. Don't stress them out. You know, do you want to have a happy child or just an educated child with a degree? Okay, so I would say the parents, you know, let me tell you, there was a beautiful message that I had once read. Never limit your children to your knowledge because they are born in a different era. Okay, so I would suggest to the parents is that keep open-minded, don't go back to the past, let the children discover their own future. But if something your parents can do is two things, support the child in the experimenting phases because they will not get it right in the first go. Support them, it's fine, it's a buffet dinner, right? So support your child. Second important, parents, please learn from children. Because they can teach you two things which you don't know, like the digital technology, you know, your children are your best guide. So parents, enjoy the journey. Don't make it a stressful journey for your child.
Beautiful. So, but like actually in the education system, like there's a lot of young kids now who've read all these policies, gotten excited. So what can a fifth grade child expect? Like will stuff change completely in 2021? Or will it be a very gradual trickle down, like, and the education system will be overhauled over like 10, 15 years? What will happen?
So actually the policy says it's a long-term plan. Okay, it's not going to happen overnight. And it's not about, you know, switching off the button of a, you know, a switch. You know, it's not like, you know, now it's dark, you put it on, everything will be very light. No. It's going to take time. There'll be a lot of debates, discussions. But, you know, I would say it's almost like a demonetization. You know, the decision is taken, but the after effects is going to take time. But you know what? I always believe change is good if it is futuristic and global in approach. So it definitely people say, you know, I've been in the education system. Some people say it's going to take 3 years. Some people say it's going to be 5 years. Okay, so a fifth standard child should not take too much stress because anyway, every day, everything is changing. I always say when you buy your latest mobile phone, you think it's the latest. But the next day you see an ad, it's gone. So the change is going to be very fast. What I'm saying is that don't worry about what to expect. Go with the flow and enjoy the journey. Because the change is definitely going to happen, but it's going to be positive. It's going to be 1 year or 5 years, I don't know, because that's all an experimentation. But my only thing is that don't resist change. Accept it and be flexible and create your own future in this particular system.
Gorgeous. So again, just on behalf of the youth, I think this is a huge kind of victory for all the educationalists in India, the government as well, you know, credit where it's due. Like, these changes have like really kind of set up a path for a great future. All the entrepreneurs on my Twitter are bawling. They're happy. So let's just hope for the best. Thank you for being on the Ranveer Show today, sir. And any signing off notes?
Yes, definitely. What I'm happy, maybe if I want to die someday, you know, when I die one day, what did I contribute? I think I bought back leadership as a subject in the education system. Okay, so I think we all need to not think as followers. That is what the Britishers did to us, you know. So our education system was creating followers who were job seekers. I think my happiness as signing off is that all of us should think as leaders, and an education system will create leaders. You be the leader of your life and create the change that you want. That is what my message to is from Chanakya, the kingmaker.
Beautiful. Thank you, Radha, sir. And until next time, we will, I'm sure even the next episode is going to be fiery, motivational and full of knowledge like this. Thank you for being on TRS once again, sir.
Thank you, Ranveer. You've been a fantastic host and a great friend. Thank you.
As always. See you, sir.